Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 3321. Well, the bond vigilantes have finally awoken from their slumber after trillions and trillions and decades of money printing. The bond vigilantes are determined to hold the Fed, hold the line, and jack up interest rates. The question is, are there any bond vigilantes left? And no, I'm not talking about James Bond. So many of you out there weren't even alive when the bond vigilantes came into play. I'm talking about the people who are supposed to hold the monetary authorities accountable for their wrongdoing, for their acts of evil. And yet it's not happening until now. But is it really happening? That's the question. What is your opinion? Will you please send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. And with us now to explore this further is our good friend, Gordon T. Long. You know him well, economic analyst and friend of the show. Gordon, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much, Kerry. Glad to be back. It's been a while.
Yes, so interest rates hit a whopping 1.6% last week, and the world practically fell off its axis. Is this just a one-off, or is it a sign of more things to come?
It's a sign of regime change, Kerry. Absolutely, it is. And it's really starting to sink in at an incredible speed. It wasn't so much that that 10-year bond just went up to 1.61 and it's come off slightly. It's the speed at which it did and what happened in the belly of the curve. I mean, we had convexity on the 7-year at 0.75. These are scary mispricing kind of events. And so there's more damage to go. And I loved your opening here, Kerry, with the vigilantes. There's only a few of us, I guess, that are old enough to have lived that world where that was the case. But that's what's happening. There is now pressure from two sources, the remaining ones, the vigilantes, we can call them that, but also foreign investors. Foreign investors are very, very nervous about what they're seeing happening here in the United States on many fronts. And I think there was a lot of uncertainty with the presidential election, and certainly, you know, for example, the Democrats had more fiscal spending, but it was an uncertainty what the actual outcome it would be. But on January the 6th, suddenly they had to kind of face the realities of what these potential policies would be, and that's fine. But immediately we had these executive orders, and you know, just that changed the whole oil gas industry. In that we shut down the Keystone pipeline, we stopped all the immediately. All that was on the first day, and I'm not being political here, Kerry. In any way, this is the realities of how foreigners are looking at the U.S. debt market right now, and not being able to do any exploration in terms of natural gas and in oil on any federal and even broader lands, but certainly the federal lands. So it brings into question what's going to happen from prices, and they're already driving up in West Texas Intermediate crude price per barrel. We're seeing it at the gas pumps. We're actually seeing it right across the commodities, which is part of this whole story. But they're scared about these policies and the spending and the amount of money that, in terms of fiscal spending, that they see coming with the policies, even if they can get them through the Congress. But in line with that, what they're not seeing, and the feedback I get is they're not seeing the growth, economic growth story that goes with the spending. It's spending that's going to bail out states or that have been just overspending or factly unfunded pensions policies, underfunded pensions in many ways, very little actually going to COVID relief. So there's a real question of the policy formulation that's going on, and that's rocked them right to the core here right now. And we're only at the beginnings. If you look at the 10-year bond rate and overlay that with the West Texas Intermediate crude on a 10-year basis, you can see both of them at critical breakouts, and we'll break out will be higher. But having said that, Kerry, because the inflation was there, but it was just this had finally been appreciated. So it's like a catch up that we're doing right now at a phenomenal rate. But, you know, the market's priced 8 months in advance. So this should have been priced in, but it wasn't. it wasn't effectively because of what I said earlier. Now it's being priced in at a very, very quick speed. But right behind this, Gary, we have deflation coming. And, you know, we already have inflation plus deflation. They're just in different areas. And it's that deflation that everybody's grappling with. I'm not saying that the bonds aren't going to go further up. But when this Fed steps in at some point, and we can talk about what I believe that point would be, it'll be because of their inflation, but it's this deflation scare that's coming. Because we haven't paid, the bottom line, we haven't paid the price for COVID yet in terms of bankruptcies, credit contraction, constriction, forbearance on all of this real estate dollars that isn't being spent right now, for whether it's for residential homes and mortgages aren't being paid, rents that are not being paid, commercial real estate. I mean, we can go on. There's just a lot of zombie corporations. There's just a lot of damage that it's not about liquidity. It's about solvency. And that's still in front of us. And so that's where the bond turmoil is going on right now.
I couldn't agree with you more here. And just reading about these malls, most of them are zombie malls. Their tenants have stopped paying rent. Their tenants are bankrupt. And if you want to look and see something interesting and sickening at the same time, just go onto YouTube and type in ghost malls. And there's dozens of them across the country, in Ohio, in the Midwest, in Arizona. It's not just even a question of whether the local economies are healthy or not. I will tell you, in Florida, we don't have a lot of malls closing, but we do have some. We actually, several years ago, had the only new mall in the United States opened. I think it was about 5 years ago in West Palm Beach. So there's been a few more open since, but the trend against malls, online shopping has just destroyed them. I mean, I know for myself, Gordon, it's so many things that I will just buy online that normally I would have schlepped around to 8 stores looking for, especially stuff, computer stuff. Now you just go on the web. Hey, what about car dealers? You know, the whole Tesla model, whether you think Tesla's overpriced or not, irrelevant. We're going to electric, whether you like it or not, there's an electric car in your future. And you are going to go on the web or to a store at the mall, and if there are any malls left in your area, otherwise you'll be on the web. You'll order your car, not through a car dealer with some shady character trying to screw you out of more money and get a higher commission on the car. I mean, this is what the car industry has devolved into. It's always been kind of sleazy, shady, trying to extract the maximum amount of dollars, playing on your emotions, getting you to do stuff that isn't in your own financial self-interest. God, sounds a lot like the financial sector. Hey, take a credit card and just go out and buy it, you know, and worry about paying for it later. Get a flat screen in every room. The financial kleptocracy is finally running things, and they love it the way it is, and they're willing to ride the wreckage of the economy all the way down and exact their pound of flesh the entire time.
Without question, I could give you all sorts of examples on that. But, Kerry, you know, when you mentioned, you brought up malls, I can remember being on your show 3 years ago, and I was specifically talking about malls and a mall in my area that I'd went out and actually did some videos and pictures and wrote a paper on of the future in malls and how devastating it what I saw coming. And not just talking about in right there in front of me in a mall that was basically brand new 4 years before. And last week, they literally bulldozed down that mall, that whole mall, and have turned it into a parking lot because the values of malls are down 60%.
You saw that article, yes.
60, well, I assume it's something in that area, but just think of what that means to real estate in that one sector. But I got news for you. We've moved to a Zoom economy right now, and everybody's cost cutting, and more people are not working from home just because of COVID. they've discovered that they can, not they, the employers can have more of, not all, but more people working from home. And there's huge cost savings. And then small business in America is in massive, massive problems that many of them are not going to reopen. And these storefronts, walk through New York and look at it. They're not going to reopen. This, you know, and real estate undermines the economy in this country. Now I'm watching lumber prices go through the roof. Mortgage rates on a 30-year Fannie Mae are up, which is really starting to hurt housing. I'm not trying to be a doom and gloom of housing, but these are the kinds of things we've yet to pay for fully because we've had an economy that's roared back. But, you know, getting back to where we were before. But there's damages that are really going to show up, I said earlier, in deflation. But already we're seeing the supply chains, they're built on JIT and Kanban system just in time. And there's just too many little shortages that are causing problems, and they're forcing them to jack up the prices. So it's right now it's good. But, you know, we lead the markets by 6 to 8 months. So sometime later this August, September, hold on. I think there's some bad news still here in this year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you
but
more.
But, Kerry, on the good side, on the positive side, we were yelling last year and that 2021 would be the year of commodities. And we could see it because we saw the slowdown coming at the end. But this is before, you know, we really didn't understand COVID fully and how long it would really drag on. But we saw that we were going to face stagflation that was definitely in the headwinds. And so there would be a rotation from growth to value. And that's and the value is without question in the commodities, especially for quite a number of reasons. And we've seen that in not just in the gold and silver, though that's been lagging here short term as it builds a pace, but in all of the minerals, on the oil and gas, et cetera. And I think we're just on the beginnings of it. I think we're actually, Kerry, frankly, we're at the beginnings. We've already entered into the new commodity super cycle. And the debt super cycle is just now coming to an end after having 40 years of a bull market of continuous reducing interest rates. We're somewhere in the zero bound and we're putting in the bottom. And that bottom, Kerry, I've done a lot of work. It's based on the real rate of the 10-year treasury. I think it's been put in. I didn't say the nominal rate, but the real rate. And they're starting to rise right now. And so I think that's going to, and when that starts to happen, it shifts movements from equities and across to the debt market. I'm not proposing the debt market. I'm just saying that rotation.
To other investment options or alternatives, right?
Exactly. So there, you know, as long as we understand that this change was inevitable, it had to happen, and the Fed's going to have to do, and the central banks will do everything they can to hold down nominal values, we'll see yield control happen. But first of all, though, we're going to see this inflation very strong in the bond market, still driving those nominals up. And then I think when they start to fight with yield control curve programs, I think then it'll be the currency will be in trouble. We're still a little ways away from that. I think they'll throw out the currency in an attempt to hold down the yield as long as they can.
Yeah, well, one thing is the whole entire world is doing it. The only difference is the U.S. dollar is the reserve currently, is the reserve currency. But every central bank in the world is just throwing the kindling in there. And the result has to be massive inflation. Wonder how long it's going to take before it finally reaches gold and silver. We've already seen massive inflation in real estate prices. My theory has been from the moment copper started going up and base metals that inflation was hitting commodities because I didn't believe the economy is so strong that everybody's out there buying copper to feed whatever. Yeah, I know the case is good because cars and all that and the electrification of the world's power supplies is happening regardless. But for it to be going up and be over $4 and now nickel is taking off, all of these commodities are taking off. And when you see one or two, you can make the argument for a demand.
Oh, no, it's right. It's across the board.
Exactly.
In commodities. It's right from food, soft, hard, oil, gas, as you said, the mining, mineral stocks. Gold and silver have had their run. Their initial run, if I can call it that, are nearing finishing a consolidation in here. And I believe we are only at the beginnings, representing commodities overall, but maybe, and I'm a real hawk on silver for what it's worth. And I think we have a big sets of moves still to come in there. But those markets, gold and silver, are notorious, or at least gold, for volatility. So, it takes strong hands to hold on, even though it's going up, or somebody who just buys and goes away. But some of the other commodities are fairly consistent. We see right now we've had a good run, a bit of a retracement for what it's worth in commodities. Sure. Short, right? But it's just nothing more than a consolidation and buying opportunities to reposition. And I think as we see more of the bond pressures in the bond market, that wave will pick up. That's what we're betting on right now. So I'll tell you where our money is.
Yeah, well, same here.
Hopefully we're right on that. We did get some of those other ones right about the pressures we saw in real estate. Not real estate, I meant retail sales. They're holding up relatively well, and the retail stocks are, but the retailers are really feeling it. Well, you're seeing it. You know, everybody's went online. You can buy anything online, and the retailers have all went online, but it's really their capabilities, computer capabilities, that are differentiating them online. But I just saw my wife, for example, who's not, doesn't really like buying things online. She bought an expensive carpet. And I said, what are you doing buying a carpet? She says, you know, Gord, I could tell the granularity of it. The way that they were showing it online, the videos, the explanations. She got a whole education on it. She felt very, very comfortable doing it. And my statement here is really the ability to sell online has improved so dramatically. And those who've done it well, and there are a number of them that have done it extremely well, but those who haven't made that investment or have done it well are just falling by the wayside. Never mind the people who are still out there in a storefront trying to sell it with very little value add. You know, yeah. You go to the store, you see what you like, and then you go and find out where you can get it cheap online. That game's been going on for 3 years, but it's accelerating now.
No, I totally agree with you. Hey, there's a lot of changes taking place. I just wonder.
But the opportunities carry to make a lot of money. You know, when you have changes like this, they can be a little scary, a little frightening, but that's when the money is made. This is when it's made. We've never seen better opportunities than we're seeing last year, this year, and I think for the next couple of years.
Hey, it's been COVID has been, an amazing time for me, I have to tell you, not just having it, but also the fact that so many opportunities opened up that I never really anticipated, that you never really anticipated. But I knew once COVID hit, I sat my partner down. I said, we are never going to have a better opportunity than now. And
exactly.
And this is it. This is the time that if you're smart, you can get super wealthy. I don't know what the money is going to be worth once it's done, but it's out there and you just have to see the opportunity.
I don't think you need to worry about the currency yet. I've always believed that the U.S. dollar would be the last to fall. May not be the last because of what I'm seeing with real rates. Now, you say a year ago we were the highest, now we're the lowest, and the yuan is now was the lowest, now the highest in real rates. Foreign money is going there, which is a whole discussion in terms of inflation, or buying in the bond market rather, pushing those yields up and getting the demand for them. But we'll feel those impacts
for sure.
with a weakening in the dollar, but certainly not enough to scare you away yet from some major investment opportunities. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right, and we got to wrap it up there. Just questions, comments for Gordon, myself, email us, kl@carrylutz.com. Gordon, just quickly tell us your website and where we find your work.
Yes, please. Thank you very much, Kerry. Matta, S-I-I, that's MATASII.com. And we have a twice a week a newsletter that's free where we talk about all these in great detail. Anybody can sign up at MATASII.com. Thank you very much for having me, Kerry.
My pleasure. Go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com, sign up for a free newsletter. Gordon, we will talk to you again real soon.
You bet. Talk to you then.